Yeah?
Mom, you need to come and get us right now.
What? What happened?
Mom, get in the car and come right now.
Do you know how long that would take by car, Rebecca?
Mom, trust me, there's something wrong with Nana and Papa. I'm telling you, you need to come and pick us up tonight.
Hello, Now Playing listeners. It's co-host Stuart here, wishing you happy 2019. The new year is typically a time when folks strive to make improvement in their lives, adopt some new personal habits. I want to encourage everyone out there to make supporting independent podcasting a resolution in 2019. And you can do that by becoming a Now Playing donor or patron. I know, sounds a little weird. I felt very weird about making a commitment to Now Playing exactly 10 years ago when I joined my oldest friend Arnie for a discussion of all the films in the Friday the 13th franchise, as if anyone would want to hear that. Or so I thought. Honestly, I had no idea how transformative that commitment and those shows would be. But they evolved into a decade of podcasting about all sorts of movies, and I got to talk to people all over the world. What I've appreciated most about that journey is being able to say whatever it is I wanted to about a film without compromising my opinion to cater to corporate sponsorship. All I ever want to do is connect to folks who love watching movies as much as I do. I don't want to sell them products. I don't want to plug the next would-be blockbuster with empty praise. But because listeners like you, who have dug into their pockets and joined the Now Playing team, I have been able to do that for 10 years. And I'll admit, sometimes when the films are really bad, I just need you guys there to help process the trauma. That's certainly been the case many times in our latest retrospective of thrillers made by writer-director M. Night Shyamalan. You know, for a guy who started out being hyped as the second coming of Hitchcock and Spielberg, Night sure has made some of the craziest, most brazenly stupid films ever to come out of the Hollywood studio system. But maybe not anymore. Fortunately for Night, his luck has turned, and we are now at the point in the retrospective where he's having box office success again. Take a listen to a clip from our review of The Visit, M. Night's found footage film that raked in $100 million at the box office. I'll explain how you can hear the entire show immediately after.
So much rap in this movie. Not expecting that.
I think it came from working with Jaden last time. I mean, what if Jaden's hero is Chance the Rapper? He gets a shout out here from this kid. I do think that, you know, this was M. Night's way of staying in touch with youth culture.
M. Night wrote these raps. Like, I watched an interview where he took credit for these. And go back and listen to some more rap. I don't think you quite got it.
So that's what happened with this, because I really was wondering if the actor playing Tyler, Ed Oxenbold, really just wanted to be a rapper, and M. Night was indulging him in this film by letting him rap.
No, I read an interview that M. Night gave about this movie. He sounds like a nightmare to work for, especially for child actors. We praised him with Haley Joel, but he's like, when I get a kid, I gotta make sure he has a good family, because those parents need to be on the set and hear what I'm telling their kids, so when they're driving them home after the shoot for the day, they can reinforce what I've been telling them and putting it into language that they know is parent and child. But then he goes off, he's like, I do not let people ad-lib, and they have to justify. If they come up with a line, they have to prove to me why the character would make that decision over what I wrote in the script. So yeah, this is all him.
Well, that's very different than when he worked with Willis, and Willis was like, yeah, I had the feeling of the scene and just kind of said what I wanted.
That's your right when you're Knight and all of your actors are unknown. I mean, that is certainly something I don't think we've ever seen. I mean, even in his first film, he had himself. I guess that was nobody's, but at this point, he's a known quantity.
Yeah, he has disappeared from his films. He didn't show up in After Earth. I don't think he was in Airbender.
No, yeah, but here, yes, he's clearly the boss. He's a big fish in a little pond, and why not? I mean, I do think that he gets pretty good child performances again. It's the first time I can say that maybe since Sign.
I agree completely. I think these kids are really good. They're so good that I don't buy them as young as they actually are. I felt like they acted like 20-year-olds or something, just with a maturity level that I wouldn't have expected. Like at one point, Tyler's playing with a ball and spinning, and Becca says, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "This is how kids play." I kind of feel that's how it is for them. They don't know what it is to play. They only have to act how kids play in their mind.
Is it good acting that I am totally repulsed by Tyler, never would want to be around this kid? Look, he might be a fine person in real life. Maybe that is good acting, is like, I find his character so annoying, I'm kind of drawn to it. Just how annoying he can be.
It could be annoying that he has this T Diamond stylist persona. Again, that feels way forced, but I think he's quite charming in this. And Ed Oxenbold is, even this year, I see he's getting critical laudits for his performance in Wildlife. I think that, that both of these actors are good. M. Night is blessed with having a movie that can be carried by the people that it's being handed to, which hasn't happened in a while. They can actually give me the kinds of performances that will allow me to stay with a story. Going to visit grandparents, I just want to go ahead and say, was a nightmare for me. My parents lived very far away from their parents. It always took an incredibly long time. And then we were out in the middle of farm country with nothing to do, and my brother and I would go crazy. And we did not have a close... I don't know that you could with my personal grandparents. They just weren't very warm people. So I could actually really relate to this scenario about being shipped off to people you didn't know very well and didn't have any warm feelings for.
See, and I had the total opposite experience. I loved going to my grandparents' house when I was a kid. Both of them, on my mom and dad's side, they had pools and hot tubs, and it was great going over there. Though, my dad's father did have Alzheimer's later in life, and so, yeah, when they get into some of that dementia stuff, walking around at night, banging on doors, I have experienced that firsthand.
I'm actually dealing with a close family member with dementia right now, and so some of this did ring true. I mean, my parents are about the age of the grandparents in this movie, so honestly, I wondered if this was a horror film or just a film about aging parents, something that is a really common thing right now. Baby boomers have lived so long thanks to our healthcare that now caring for parents in their 80s, 90s, and 100s is not abnormal.
And built into that storyline is a kind of hard to swallow premise in which we're expected to believe that Loretta, their mother that loves them, that has this teasing, playful, almost friend, very contemporary parent relationship with these two children, is going to go on a 3-day Royal Caribbean cruise.
Do you think Royal Caribbean paid some of the $5 million for that?
I definitely think that he got some money from them. Apple, I saw, was thanked as well, all the gear.
Vio's in there a ton, though I don't know if Sony wanted anything to do with them.
Yeah. The point is, it's interesting that she had a breakup. That 15 years ago when she got pregnant with her substitute teacher, that led to a falling out with the family. It's really hard for me to imagine a circumstance in which she feels comfortable putting her kids on a train to spend time with parents she would not spend time with herself.
Yeah, when we find out what the falling out is like, what, she hit her mom and her dad hit her and so she left? I don't know, it seems pretty petty, and they'll kind of call that out by the end of this, like, don't give into that anger and just kind of move on. But that she is so upset by this that she has not reconciled in 15 years.
I went 18 years without speaking to my sister over less.
Yeah, I've had decades-long fights with people. Yeah, that's not hard to believe at all, Jacob. What's hard to believe is she hasn't patched that up, but she's going to send her children, whom she loves, into such a circumstance. That's the hard part.
That boyfriend must be a good lay because she's got to get rid of those kids and get on that cruise.
Well, the kids, we're introduced to them, and it's very unlike most films I watch. Usually, kids, especially of the younger teenage age, are problematic and angsty and things. These two kids, like I said, I had trouble believing their age because they're very mature. They're both like, mom works very hard for us. She really needs to get away and have some time to herself. We're really glad she's going with this boyfriend. None of this, you're trying to replace my father, that I'm used to seeing. But there are three things in this movie that I cannot get past, as you just, I have to just swallow them because it's the movie. But the first one is, how did Loretta arrange for these kids to go stay with the grandparents who the kids have never talked to, the kids never seen pictures of, and Loretta didn't talk to?
And Loretta didn't reach out. The grandparents found Loretta on the internet. They didn't even have her phone number or anything. Found her on the internet and contacted her somehow.
Yes. What we are to understand is the actual grandparents set it up. and that she, in fact, could have talked to them at any point. They'd been trying for years on multiple occasions. This is the one time where it stuck. She's feeling like she needs the help. Does she really want to go on this cruise? We know that she's not with the high school teacher anymore. He disappeared 5 years before. No dealings with the kids at all. And so that's left them with some strife as well. It's just a lot to ask. That even if she Skyped with them and saw the real parents and said, okay, you want to see them, I can do this. For her not to be there, or at least like pull up to the house and drop them off. And again, 6 days? Maybe an afternoon, or we'll meet for coffee. It's a lot to ask, but of course, this is Knight. He has to have a twist, and the twist is predicated on the idea that she does not see where the kids get picked up.
So this was supposed to be a twist, because I remember seeing the trailers for this and kind of figured it out from that.
I don't remember a single trailer from this or anything. We'll get to the twist, but I didn't think at the beginning that it was weird, but it's only when the twist comes out that the implications hit, that these kids ran up to two people and said, hi, Nana, hi, Pop Pop. Never seen a photo. They never Skyped with them. I'm just used to seeing kids of this age on their phones all the time. They're texting.
There's no cell phone coverage, though, because that's what you got to do these days in a horror film. Go out to a rural area where there's no cell phone coverage, so you can't be, as Tyler puts it, on the text with two girls. That is not human language. On the text! The plants have attacked. It's the happening all over again.
But they still have internet. They could Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah, they got broadband. They're hooking up to an Ethernet cable.
Yeah.
Like, the grandparents are paying for that? I don't know. Maybe they had a computer in one of the rooms.
There'd be some IMing going on. There'd be some Facebook Messenger. There'd be some Skype. I mean, if they wanted to do a found footage horror film with a 15-year-old, I expect it to be, like, Unfriended.
As I've already stated, Now Playing has lasted so long and been so free to dispense honest opinion because we have financial donors. And we want to reward that. If you can become a gold level donor right now, you are going to receive 11 exclusive shows that chronicle the career highs of M. Night Shyamalan. Those include Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs was a big hit, The Visit, Split Glass. And yeah, we're going to tackle those epic lows as well, which frankly are just as much fun to deconstruct. The Village, Lady in the Water, The Happening, Last Airbender, After Earth, really fascinating fiascos. It's our way of saying thank you for making independent podcasting a priority in 2019. Plus, gold level donors are going to get the 5 silver level shows we put out last Halloween. And those were dedicated to Dario Argento, his classic witch trilogy, and that really is centered around Suspiria. And you can upgrade to the platinum level. You can get those 16 shows, plus 3 additional Jamie Lee Curtis horror movies, John Carpenter's The Fog, Terror Train, and the original Prom Night. Now, hopefully, I've inspired you. You understand how important this is. I sense you're ready to make that commitment. You're wondering, how can you start listening to all this exclusive content? I'll tell you. Head to our website. That's nowplayingpodcast.com. Click the banner at the top of the page. It's going to break down for you all the different levels of patronage. What is silver level? What is gold level? Gold and platinum are how you're going to get M. Night Shyamalan. But follow those instructions, and you're going to be making a big impact on our show and helping to underwrite another full year's worth of content. I am eternally grateful for all of those that are able to donate. We will be celebrating all 2019 with new shows, new series, returns of favorites. Thank you so much for your support. I will talk to you on Tuesday and hopefully very soon with our exclusive donor content. Thanks.
Wasn't it a perfect week? I promised her it would be.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
I want to do this for you.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
I did something I don't choose to tell you. If they choose to tell you, that's their right.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
It's a form of modern poetry.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
What level of problem is this?
One.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2019, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Oh, Shania Twain, bitches!
Thank you.